Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together, we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick, and apparently some people believe in talking donkeys.
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
All right, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Husband.
Wife.
Do you know what today is?
I do.
Are you going to tell me what today is?
No, you're supposed to tell me.
It's Sunday.
What is on Sunday?
Sacrilegious Book Club.
There we go.
So when I say, do you know what today is? You're supposed to say, yeah, it's Sunday. And then I say, that's right. And then I say what Sunday is.
You should have covered that with me before we started the podcast then.
Well.
Because I'm reacting and I'm like, you're supposed to say that thing. And then you didn't say the thing. You're just asking me. I'm like, yeah, I know what today is. Duh.
Okay. Well, if I planned ahead, that wouldn't be very us now, would it?
It would not. It would not. Yeah.
So we are still in the book, A Treasury of Jewish Folklore, and then subtitled Stories, Traditions, Legends, Humor, Wisdom, and Folk Songs of the Jewish People, edited by Nathan Asubel.
Okay.
And in the past, we covered Jewish salt, and now we are in the second section, which is heroes. We're talking about wise men.
Fucking wise men.
You're a wise ass.
All right, let's go ahead and get on into this.
Okie dokie.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, so wise men.
Wise men.
And remember we talked before about how wise men and wisdom and knowledge is what the Jewish people consider your greatest asset, your greatest
right.
gift.
Yeah.
So That's why it's such a big fucking deal.
That's why Solomon was such a big fucking deal.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Because he's the wisest.
Actually, I have a story about him I'm going to read today.
I mean, it only makes sense in the wise men section, you know?
Exactly. So I didn't note last time that under wise men, it is further broken down into wise and learned men and then parables.
Okay.
So there is one story under the wise and learned men story or section that I'm going to read before we move on to parables.
Okay.
And it's called Why Jerusalem Was Destroyed on page 55. Okay.
God's a dick.
Pretty much.
That's my answer.
Pretty much. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Why was Jerusalem...
Jerusalem? Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. Okay, let's try that again.
Right, yeah.
Leave that in.
Yeah, well, duh.
Why was Jerusalem destroyed? Asked the sages of Israel. Jerusalem.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, stop. I can't. Jerusalem was destroyed only because of the desecration of... Okay.
Apparently you can't read today.
Well, okay, let me explain. So I was supposed to have a bridge put in, and the temporary that they put in while they're making the mold for the bridge.
Yeah.
The temporary popped off. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and I still don't have the bridge put in for another week, but between now and then.
So now you have a speech impediment.
Yes, actually I do. You probably haven't noticed it much because you don't notice things, but there's a really, really sharp piece of tooth that has, for the last week since it popped off, been slicing my tongue.
Mm.
So
that's exciting.
I have a little bit of a lisp, and it's getting worse while I
read this book.
Yeah, while I wait for my bridge to be put in. So I'm like,
So basically, we're asking for forgiveness.
Please
forgive us, listeners.
I always ask for forgiveness because I'm always fucking up, and there's always a reason.
Right, right.
Okay, let's start over here. Ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Why was Jerusalem destroyed? Asked the sages of Israel.
Yeah.
Jerusalem was destroyed only because of the desecration of the Sabbath. Jerusalem was destroyed only because the morning and the evening prayers were abolished.
Abolished?
Jerusalem was destroyed only because the children of the schools remained untaught. Jerusalem was destroyed only because the people did not feel shame towards one another.
Let me just stop here.
Mm-hmm.
God destroyed Jerusalem because people weren't being taught about him and because they weren't worshiping him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, I'm going to kill you. And I'm going to make this, well, I'm going to destroy you.
What they are saying is that Jerusalem was destroyed through us, not by God. We destroyed Jerusalem.
Oh, right.
That's what they're saying.
Okay. All right.
Did not feel shame, blah, blah, blah. Jerusalem was destroyed only because no distinction was drawn between the young and the old. Jerusalem was destroyed only because one did not warn or admonish the other. Jerusalem was destroyed only because men of scholarship and learning were despised. Jerusalem was destroyed only because there were no longer men of faith and hope in her midst.
Mm.
Other sages of Israel said, Jerusalem was destroyed only because her laws were founded upon the strict letter of the Torah and were not interpreted in the way of mercy and kindness.
This is a lot of reasons that are only the reasons.
That's kind of the point. From the day that the temple was destroyed, men of sound judgment were cut off. Confusion of thought prevailed, and the heart did not seek after purity, but decided according to appearances. The shedding of blood profanes the holy soil, and in is an offense against the divine presence.
Mm.
It was because of the shedding of blood that the holy temple was burnt.
Okay.
They
shed blood in the fucking holy temple. Like, they do sacrifices and shit. So it just doesn't really strike me as whatever.
Okay. You're being like really. You're not understanding the spirit of this.
Sorry,
like on purpose.
I apologize.
And I read this because it kind of strikes me as very prescient. Like,
yeah, no, it does. I mean, there are definitely parts of it other than the faith and the whatever.
Well, but that's what I was trying to say was that Christians use many of the same reasons for today, like there's no prayer in school and blah, blah, blah. And that's why the world sucks.
Right.
But also, we atheists or agnostics or humanists or free thinkers.
Secular, whatever.
Yeah, we use similar reasoning why the world is going to shit. We have no shame anymore. We have no kindness and empathy toward each other. It just strikes me that we all use similar reasoning and we're not all wrong.
No, we're not all wrong. I mean, yes, there are things that are that cause the world to fall apart, but that does not mean that. So when you invoke God as part of that, though, then you allow for someone else to throw on other meaning to that.
Well, and sure.
That's part of the issue as well.
No, yes, definitely. Definitely. I wasn't trying to say that every single point mentioned here was correct. I was interested in this because it was so similar to so many different arguments by so many different people of so many different creeds.
Well, and it strikes me also as part of this, like part of their issue with things falling apart is that the lack of instruction, the lack of mm-hmm. learning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's exactly what, you know, religious people don't want from you. They want you to unlearn what you're learning, you know, so.
You mean Christians.
Christians, not... yes. And I'm speaking from a very American sense of this as yes. far as what I'm going from.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's definitely an unlearning of science. There's an unlearning of, yes. you know, that they expect of you in order to be part of the club.
I feel like this piece here, why Jerusalem was destroyed, is a very... Like, I think we can relate to this piece more than Christians can. Christians would take all of these points and turn them wicked and ugly.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whereas I relate to it on a very, the way you said, science and learning and education and empathy and kindness and love.
Sure.
Like, it's just interesting to me.
No, I think, so at some level, I think that, you know, we're talking about thousands of years ago, right? With mm-hmm. early Judaism and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So... I think that they were on the right track for learning and for questioning and things like that.
Absolutely.
Now, they didn't have a good basis in science or anything like that to understand the world that they lived in. So there goes God. There's God.
Right.
That's where God is, right? God is in those gaps that you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad that we kind of stopped as a society for long periods of time along the way since then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had the Dark Ages. We had... You know, we have right now, you know,
we keep having these periods of unlearning and,
yeah.
and dark ages that,
and I think ultimately that's what's stopping progression. That's what's mm-hmm. stopping us from moving forward as a world, as a society, as humans. So.
I find it interesting that in this period of unlearning, we are going back to the moon.
Yeah. No, you know? There's, I mean, it's one step forward, two steps back, you know, like that's,
it's just so interesting.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. And, you know, even in all of the problems that we're having with religion and politics and everything in the United States, it's still hopeful mm-hmm. that we have such support for progressive issues, you know, as a whole, as a
right.
as a percentage, right. you know, like percentage-wise, we support most of the right things, in my opinion.
Well, so. I mean, the fact that LGBTQ rights are being secured even by the right at
right.
this point, I mean, everything else is falling apart, but yet still one little piece is moving forward. And that's where you get the hope.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's where there's always a light. And you have to keep moving toward the light, even if you know yourself that you're never going to reach it.
Well, and I think if you take, we grew up in the 80s, right? I mean, mm-hmm. the world has changed significantly for the better.
Yeah.
Other than certain things. Climate change, obviously,
we
fucked that up, right? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But societal norms have changed for the better, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And
Some.
Some yeah, that's what have I'm saying, changed generally significantly.
Speaking. That's what I'm saying, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you take... history in 40 to 50 year swaths, then we're moving in the correct direction. It just doesn't always feel like it.
In the moment. Right.
And we need the goal, I think, is to keep us from backsliding further
mm-hmm.
so that we don't lose the momentum that we still have.
Right. And so. I think that you have to take yourself out of the moment sometimes to have that hope. And you have to look at the larger picture.
Definitely.
As we keep slouching forward.
Because it's easy to get lost in the daily news narratives that
It is.
You know, tell us we suck, we're great, we suck, we're great. Whatever you're listening to, there's always somebody out there screaming about something. So,
yeah.
Including us.
Sure.
I mean, we're here daily screaming about shit.
Well, yeah. That's why this piece spoke to me more on a personal level than it did on a for our podcast, specifically what we're doing.
Right.
You know, trying to read Jewish folklore.
Yeah.
Like, it spoke to me more on a personal level than on a for our podcast level.
Right.
And
right.
I just felt like it was worth reading.
Yeah, sure. So. Definitely.
Okay. So that wraps up that section. The next section we get into is parables. And the intro to that is on page 56 and 57. And I just took some quotes from that intro, and I will read them now.
Okay.
Of all elements in Jewish folklore, the parable is probably the most distinctly Jewish.
Okay.
Okay, I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Pentateuch has only 5 parables, but they abound in the Agada, the Midrash, and in many books of the Apocrypha, and in most Jewish medieval literature.
Hmm. Okay.
So I thought that was interesting to know.
Right.
Considering that it's so important, but the Pentateuch itself, 5 books of the Bible, only has 5 parables.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Here's a quote. No doubt with the intellectual snobs in mind, the teachers of the people wrote admonishing in the Agada, do not despise the parable. With a penny candle, one may often find a lost gold coin or a costly pearl. By means of a trifling, simple parable, one may sometimes penetrate into the most profound ideas.
I mean, I think parables help you bypass your ideas that you have set in your head, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was trying to come up with a word. I'm going to stop because, you know, whatever.
Preconceived notions.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, that's the one. Thanks. Yep. So I think it helps you bypass that by not jumping out immediately and saying what you're trying to teach. You know, it makes you think about it in a roundabout way and say, huh.
Well, I don't know if you recall, but last week there was a story that I read regarding the difference between truth and parable.
Yeah.
And that parable is just truth in better clothing.
Right, right.
And it is easier to swallow. It's more acceptable.
Agreed. And I don't know that they're always truths necessarily.
Right.
But they do make you think regardless.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of like we can talk about statistics, but it's always better to have that personal story, that anecdote, that one person who actually endured the hardship that you're trying to discuss to make it more personal.
Definitely.
And what is an anecdote or a personal example other than a parable or a truth dressed up in nice clothing?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So according to the universally accepted tradition, it was King Solomon who, quote, invented the parable.
Invented it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he was so motherfucking wise.
Man, that is he invented it.
According to universally accepted tradition.
Got it.
So not necessarily
what
happened, just it gets attributed to him because it's fun.
I mean,
fun.
There weren't a lot of books back then, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he happens to be in one of those books.
Right.
So, I mean, I think he might have a leg up here given the amount of history that was done to that point that was written down.
Sure.
So.
Yep. But remember, you had mentioned Solomon as being
the
wise guy.
The wisest.
Mm-hmm. So. Very often, the parable was told not so much to instruct as to offer solace to the Jewish people.
Okay.
Which, that also makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I have a couple of stories from that section.
Okay.
Which I will read. Let me find them in my massive
to the page.
Tome.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, I'm only reading one parable today.
Oh, just one.
Just one.
All right.
Because I should have split these up better, because we'll still be doing parables next week, and then we will also get into the ancient art of reasoning next week.
Okay.
I should have just done these like a miniature section at a time.
Got it.
I didn't look at the table of contents. The table of contents is so massive that I just didn't look at all the breakdowns.
Sure.
So anyway, page 58, the poor man's miracle. And this is adapted from the Abid. And I don't know if you remember, but that's one of the supplemental writings that rabbis wrote as explanations and interpretations to, like, the Agada and the Midrash that they wrote as
supplemental to the Torah and the whatever.
The second law.
Right.
Not the Torah, but the other one.
Yeah.
I think the Midrash was the second law, and then all the others are supplemental to that.
Got it.
So, okay, so this one's called The Poor Man's Miracle. No one showed any compassion for the poor man as he went from house to house begging for a coin or a crust of bread. Many a door was slammed in his face, and he was turned away with insults. Therefore, he grew despondent. One wintry day, as he was trudging through the slippery streets, he fell and broke his leg. Thereupon, they took him to a hospital. When the people of the town heard that a poor stranger had been taken to the hospital, suffering from a broken leg, they began to feel very sorry for him. Some went to comfort him. Others brought him good things to eat. When he left the hospital, they furnished him with warm clothes and gave him a tidy sum of money. Before the poor man left town, he wrote to his wife, "Praise God, dear wife, a miracle happened. I broke my leg." And this moral, all of these have a moral attached to them.
Okay.
And the moral,
I love it.
I know. The moral of this one is, most people would sooner help one who has fallen than help keep him from falling.
I mean, that's true today.
That's why I chose that one.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's great.
I find that the two stories that I chose to read that were written hundreds and hundreds of years ago are still so fucking true today.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's absolutely true.
Yep.
And even, you know, one of the things that I really, it just bothers me, but I, like, you know, this is a truism. And that's that, like, even churches, like, if you don't show up in your Sunday best, they're going to turn you away, you know, not turn you away, but you definitely would be looked down upon at the very least, you know?
Yeah.
So like if a homeless person walked into their church on a Sunday,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to get a warm welcome. They're not going to get help. They're not
going
to get, I mean, they can show up. They're welcome to show up on the day when they're giving out food to look good for the whatever social media is and all that kind of crap, right?
For the photo op.
For the photo op, yeah.
Do it for the gram.
But don't invade their personal, you know, like service.
Jeez, their club.
That's crazy.
Their Sunday club meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's very true. Like when and when tragedy befalls somebody, whether they're poor, rich, well, mostly poor, when they're poor, people will reach out and help. But if you just ask for help before tragedy has hit, knowing even that there might be an impending tragedy coming, people are not willing to help.
Right. You have to already be in the earthquake. You can't
ask for
money to, like, build up your house, you know, to prevent it from falling in on you.
And that even applies to our politics. We don't, like, you know, when COVID hit, we had let our medical supplies as a nation go to such levels that we weren't prepared for it, you know?
Like, so that we had to tell people, don't wear masks because we need our medical staff to have that PPE.
Right, because we don't prepare ahead of time.
Right.
We don't worry about it until something happens.
I've been saying that for ages with regard to my favorite example, which is out in Eaton, Ohio, which is country, bumfuck USA.
Yeah, it is.
There was a train track. And they had a rail or a guard thing that came down, but they didn't have, or no, they didn't have the guard thing. They just had the lights.
Yeah.
And they had to have so many fucking accidents happen, deaths, before they would put up a fucking rail that came down to stop traffic.
That's the same thing with car companies. They got to have so many deaths happen for something that's wrong with their cars across the board before they take action on that and do a recall.
There has to be either enough financial hit or enough financial incentive for them to take an action that is okay.
It's the same reason we have climate issues right now and we're not doing anything about it because it hasn't actually hit anything.
Like, no, it has hit lots of things. It hasn't hit anything that rich people give a fuck about.
Right, exactly. That's
They'll be the first to, you know, be okay because they all have bolt holes and they all have places, you know. And
well, I imagine when the fucking power grids start going down all the time because of fucking climate change, they're going to be like, why didn't somebody fix this? And we're going to be like, because of you, assholes.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, it's your fault.
Yeah. You know, why Texas is still having power problems.
Yeah, but it's not quite enough yet to, like, cause massive concern. And we can blame it on other things. It's just a bad, it's a bad winter. It's a bad whatever, bad heat.
Right.
Well,
heat and as long as what's his name, Cruz, can continue to go to Cancun when the power goes out in winter.
Right.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
If the entirety of Texas freezes to death, who gives a fuck?
Yep. That is true.
Yep. True. So parables, good stuff.
Yep.
That's it for today.
Okay. So that was the last one we had?
Yep.
Okay. Awesome. Well, what are we going to be doing when we come back next week with this?
When we come back next week, as I said before, we will be continuing with some parables and we will get into the ancient art of reasoning.
Okay.
And
sounds good.
After that is some wise judges and riddle solvers. So, I mean, we've got some stuff to do under wise men.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed today's stories. They were good. So,
yeah.
That was awesome. I'm looking forward to next week. And I will have here in a little bit today, we'll have out the weekly replay after I'm done getting this one put out.
Yep.
Which is coming out slightly late. So, again, apologies. Just been a rough, you know, few
it's
days
been a holiday
here, so.
Weekend.
It's been a holiday weekend. Yeah.
Get off me. It's a holiday.
And then we'll be back Monday
with 2nd Chronicles chapter 6.
Yes. See you guys then.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.